Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining me today. I certainly appreciate it. I thought today we'd talk about, is this a good time to refinance your home? I wanted to talk about that because I get a lot of calls. And I talked to a lot of people looking at refinancing, and there's a lot of news out there about what mortgage rates are, what they're doing, how they're doing. And everybody, I think, is hearing that. So they're thinking, maybe this is a good time to refinance. So, and it is a good time, depending on your current mortgage and the reasons that you want to refinance. So that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about those reasons that you might want to refinance and whether it makes sense or not at this point in time to refinance for those reasons. The first one I want to talk about is lowering your interest rate. It's probably, in this market, it's probably the number one reason somebody calls me is they want to lower their interest rate. And the market is bouncing all over the place. So, and I don't know what your rate actually is. So this is one of those things where if the rates are low enough compared to what you have today, then it can make a lot of sense to refinance. And what I do is if you called me, I want to get all your information. I want to know what it is that you have today. What's your interest rate? What do you owe on the home? What is the value of your home in your estimation? What's your credit scores? Do you have a second mortgage or a home equity line of credit? If you do, what's the balance on that? I want to know what the property taxes and the homeowner's insurance are. Do you escrow? I want to know as much as I can to then be able to put together a loan savings report that I put together on a program that actually lay it all out, and it will show you, and I'll put together a variety of options based on what you're trying to accomplish. Because I need to know, what kind of payment you're going to be comfortable with. Is it okay if it goes up? All these things we need to know. And when we put that together, it's going to lay all the information out. It's going to show you what your savings would be over the first 5 years or whatever number I pick. It could be 3 years. And that, again, depends. If you said, I'm going to be in the house for 3 years, I'm not going to show you how much you're going to save over 20. I'm going to show you how much you're going to save over 3, and then I'll probably show you how much you save over 5 or 6, just in case you stay past the 3 years. Because what you want to know, if you're looking at refinancing, am I going to save enough money in 3 years, if you're only going to be there 3 years, to make this worthwhile? And I want to make sure that you know whether it is worthwhile. So we put this report together, and it's going to show you, and you're going to be able to easily see whether it makes sense based on the savings that you would receive over that 3 years. On the same token, you don't want to see it over 3 years if you plan on being in the home for 15, then you want to see a longer term. So 15, I'm probably going to put 10 years up to 15 years, to show those numbers. One of the things that I found is many people will tell me they're going to be in their home forever. And even if they are, and I have been, I'm somebody who stays in my home forever. But even if you are going to be there forever, many times you refinance, and I've refinanced several times, and you may have refinanced several times. So what we find is that the average home mortgage is 99.8% of all mortgages are closed out in the first 10 years. So even if you're going to be there forever, you probably aren't going to have that mortgage for more than 10 years. There's a 0.02% chance that you will, but if you're going to take the odds, I'd take the odds that most likely we aren't. Now, it's opposite of how people feel, I will say. I would say that 70% of the people feel they'll have their mortgage for more than 10 years, yet 0.02 do. And if you can save money based on, the mortgage, you want to look at those options. And the biggest thing is you want to look at it over, if you're going to be there 10 years, you want to look at that. You want to know over 10 years, what's my savings going to be if I refinance? Because sometimes it may take a little bit to get the savings, and it may take, the savings And the reason it takes it could be different than others, you can get a lower rate, but you pay more cost. So you could pay a point, some points, or something like that. Some people say, I don't want to pay any points. Well, that may be correct. And I'm not saying that you would pay points, but it's certainly something to look at, because if it drops the rate enough that you can make that up in a few years, and you're going to be there 10 years, and you can save $20,000 by paying, you know, $3,000 in points now, that might be a good investment. And we want to at least look at that. I would never tell anybody that's what they need to do, but I want you to know. I want you to be educated. I want my customers to know and be educated. So when they look at it, they can go, okay, this makes sense. This is the way I want to do it. And whatever way that is, that's the right way for you. That's not, but I want to show you the options. So I tend to show, like I said, three or four different options, depending on what the market and rates are, and also depending on if you want to see more than like a 30-year and a 20-year, then I'm only going to show two options in each, most likely. But you want to look at that so you can make that decision, and we want to help educate you on that so you can feel comfortable with what you're looking at and whether that's going to make sense. Another big reason that I'm getting people who are wanting to refinance right now is shortening their mortgage term. So right now they may have had a 30-year mortgage. They've been in it, let's say, 3 years, and now they want to look at possibly going to a 20-year or maybe even a 15-year. Generally, and this is not 100%, but generally the 15-year rate is going to be better than the 30-year rate, and usually significantly better, you know, up 3/8 to a full half a point, maybe even more. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes, based on the numbers and everything, the 15-year isn't as good as the 30, but most of the time it is. 20-year will usually be a little better than a 30-year. So it's always worth looking at that to see how much, you know, if you can shorten your term, pay off your home quicker, you pay more principal, pay less interest, and then you pay your loan down. So even if you decide 5 years from then you're going to sell your house, you owe less on it, so you have more equity to move to your next home. So shortening the mortgage term can be a huge benefit. And I would highly recommend, you know, if you feel like you can comfortably afford it, that we look at that. And if you want to look at that, go on my website. That's probably the best way. You go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com, go to the contact, just fill in your basic information and then tell me what your questions are, what you're wanting to accomplish. And I will either email or call you back and get back with you so we can talk about the options, but more on the shortening your term. So if you have a 30-year, and this is something that a lot of people kind of forget, they have a 30-year and you've had that 30-year, let's say you're an anomaly and you've had it for 12 years. And you say, you know, I want to shorten my term and I want to go on a 20. If you've had it for 12 years, you actually are on an 18-year loan at that point, and you haven't shortened it. By going to a 20, you wouldn't shorten your term. In that case, you'd most likely want to look at a 15-year. This is something people tend to get confused about. Another thing they get confused about is I'll get people call me and they'll say, well, you know, I do want to shorten my term, but I don't want to start my loan over. And then they explain starting their loan over, they don't want to pay all the principal up front again. And it is accurate, but it's also inaccurate. If you do a 30-year loan, let's say your interest is $1,000 payment, principal and interest payment, your interest is $800, your principal is $200. And every month that $200 pays the loan down a little bit. And so that $800 in interest drops a little bit. So it may be $799.76. And then, so it drops a little bit and your principal goes up by that same amount. Okay. But if you've paid it for 5 years and then you come in and you do a 25-year loan, you're not starting over. You're starting at 25 years and your loan currently is at a 25 year. So it's not a start over. So it doesn't mean that you're now going to pay more interest, especially if the interest rate is lower on the 25 year, that you're going to pay more interest than you were paying before. You're not. You're going to pay less interest. You're going to pay less interest and you're going to pay more principal if that interest rate is lower. Take that to a 15 year. On a 15 year, your principal payment and interest payment may be higher than what it is on a 30 year, but that's because you're paying it off in 15 years. But the percentage of your principal that you pay compared to your interest is much greater. You pay much more principal on a 15-year than you do on a 30-year. If you had the exact same payment, there'd be a lot more principal going towards it on the 15-year than there would on the 30-year. So that is something to always remember when you're looking at shortening your term. Now, after the break, we're going to talk about refinancing to lower your monthly payment.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back. And just so everybody knows, my last name's pronounced Rickma, not Rickma. Just, which I think is how he said it, but it's Rickma. And we talked about, is it a good time to refinance? We talked about, is it a good time for if you wanted to lower your interest rate or shortening your mortgage term? And I now want to talk about lowering your monthly payment. You know, these are the big, all of these are things I get called on constantly for people looking to see if this is going to make sense. So lower your monthly payment. Now, what that generally means is that you're going, let's say you have a 30-year, you've been in it 2-3 years, you're at a high rate, and you can and you call to refinance, we can lower the interest rate, and we can go back to a 30-year, and maybe other things can happen, and that lowers your payment. Now, you have to be realistic about how much it's going to lower your payment. That's one of the things, one of the issues I find. Somebody who has a $70,000 or $80,000 loan amount, and they want to lower their payment, you're not talking about hundreds of dollars a month that you're going to lower your payment, because unless your interest rate is so high or you've paid on it so long that when you go back to a 30, you're going to save it. It's very difficult. Let's say you just refinance with that $70,000 loan and you've had it for 2 years, and then you just want to refinance what you owe and save money. That can be very difficult. Now, if you financed it 15 years ago and you've paid it down to 60, then it's going to happen. We'll be able to save you money and lower your monthly payment and save hundreds of dollars. Now, if you're in a big loan, let's say a bigger loan, let's say you're in the $300,000-$500,000 range, then your savings can add up. The number can get much bigger, but it's all based on the percentage of your current mortgage payment. And that's what I always encourage people to look at, and I think you should look at, is how much am I saving in the payment? If you're saving 10, 12, 15, 20% of your payment, that's pretty significant every month. And that's something to look at and see if it for you, if that makes a difference in your life, because that's the reason you would do this. To lower your monthly payment, you would do that normally because you need some change. You need extra money for something. Maybe you had a kid go to college and you need to pay for it, and you need some savings so you can, it makes it easier. Maybe you're worried about your job. I've had that happen. Somebody's worried about their job. They want to lower that payment so it's easier to make if something happens. So they go on a longer term, but then they pay it down quicker while they have a job, but they don't have to make the bigger payment. So there's a lot of reasons you might want to lower your monthly payment. And the only way to know for sure how much you're going to lower it is to go on my website, fill out the information, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com, go to the contact, put your information there, and then tell me what you're after, and then I will get back with you either email or call, and we'll talk about it, and we'll get that taken care of and look at it and see how much we can lower your monthly payment.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Bob and Judy sent me this question, and it's, as again, these questions are all based on what's going on in the market today and what's going on in our economy. And they're asking, if they're on furlough, can they still refinance their home? And if you're on furlough, that means that you're not on your job, and it means that your job is temporarily been eliminated. And we're finding that more and more. We even have some people that are in process in a mortgage, and they're being furloughed, and that does create and can create a problem for us on getting the loan closed. So generally, if you're on furlough, you can't close on the refinance. It doesn't mean that we couldn't start the refinance. If you have a pretty good idea, it can make sense. If you have a pretty good idea of when you're going to be back, we generally, at this point, these are all changes that the Freddie and Fannie have made, the agencies have made, and they're very, very strict on unemployment right now. So if you're furloughed, we have to wait. Last rule I saw, we had to wait until we had one pay stub from you being back, and then we get verification of employment, and then we can close on the loan. So let's say, you know, it's getting close to you're getting back to work. You know, hopefully that's the case at this point in time. And so you're getting close to being back to work. So we could go ahead and get everything started while you're off. Makes it easier to get all your documents, get everything prepared. We can get everything started. And then once you're back to work, we wait till you have one pay stub, and then we verify your employment and we're good to go. So the furlough won't keep you from refinancing once you're back to work, but it is creating, you know, a problem right now if you're not working. Because we do need employment in order to finance. Now there could be two, you know, sometimes, you know, there's two people on the mortgage, one person's on furlough, the other person's not, but that person totally qualifies income wise. We can still do that. We can do the loan and close on it with the one person. The other person can still be on the loan. We just don't count income and they qualify. So it's certainly not something that just totally stops you or makes it so you can't finance. And if it makes sense for you to want to refinance, and a lot of times when you're furloughed, what I'm finding is if you can finance, a lot of this is to get cash out to feel a little safer. I'm getting a lot of people who are doing that. They're refinancing, cashing out. They want that safety net of cash, so that when, you know, if it takes a little longer than they're expecting, that they are financially able to weather that storm. So the answer is yes, you can finance when you're on furlough. We can start the refinance, but we can't close the refinance unless we have other income that we can show that will qualify you for a mortgage. So again, it's one of those things I would highly recommend. You just go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com, go to the contact area and put your information in, put the question in the notes area, and let me know what you're looking to do, and I will get back with you. We'll discuss it and see if there's some way we can make it work. But let's get back to, we were talking about, the last one we talked about was lower your monthly payment, talked about shortening your mortgage term. These are reasons to refinance. You know, probably one of the biggest reasons to refinance that I found, we were just talking about it, is cash out. We're seeing a lot of people, it's probably second to lowering your interest rate. And that is the cash out. And the number, you know, I won't say the number one, but a lot of people are cashing out to pay off debt. So I want to explain a cash out refinance. On a cash out refinance, let's say you owe $100,000 and your house is worth $200,000. On a cash out refinance, on a conventional mortgage, we can go to an 80% loan to value. That's actually the same with an FHA. We can go to an 80% loan to value. It's 90% on a VA, but they have some other restrictions. So we can go do the cash out. So if you owed 100 and the house is worth 200, we can do $160,000. That's the max we could do. As long as you qualify, we could do $160,000 cash out. So that's getting you approximately $60,000 in cash. Now you take your closing costs, you know, prepaid items, those type of things out of there. And then, of course, you skip one monthly payment, and you're going to get, if you have escrows and with another lender, whatever they have, they're going to send back to you. Normally they send it back to you. Some lenders will actually take it off the payoff. But that way you can get that money. And then when you close on a refinance, whether it's cash out or not, there's a 3-day right of rescission. If you close on a Monday, there's no holidays in between, then you fund on that Friday. And then that's when you get that check. And that check just goes to you. If we don't have any requirements of debt you have to pay off, you can use that to pay off the debts. You can use that just to put in as a nest egg, however you want to do the cash out, whatever you want to do with that money. So if we require, sometimes on a debt payoff, to qualify, there may be debts that have to be paid off. If that's the case, then we're going to have the title company write the checks, because they disperse the funds. We're going to have the title company write the checks to the creditors, and then they're going to mail those checks out, or have you mail those checks out to pay off those debts. And that's if we used it to qualify. If we didn't need it to qualify, then we just get a check and you can pay off the debts as you see fit. And so that's one of the cash out options. The other, another cash out option is a home improvement. You know, we've talked about the renovation loans. Well, if you have a lot of equity in your home, then a home and just refinancing and cashing out may be a better option than a renovation loan. So you refinance the home, you add the cash out. Same thing. If it's a $200,000 house, you owe $100,000. You borrow $160,000. You have $60,000 now that you can go and you can do your home improvement. And when you do it as a cash out, there's no requirements on that money. So to require inspections to make sure work is done, you just disperse the funds once the contractor is done with you know whatever work they're doing or whatever your agreement is. So home improvement is another big reason we're seeing people doing cash out, and it is a very good reason, especially with rates this low. The cash out rates are going to be higher, but they're still very good. And so it can be a great option to finance those home improvements and be able to have a lot of control over how the work is paid for. You know, sometimes I've had people use that money. They find a deal where they can buy their, let's say, cabinets. They buy their cabinets, but they pay cash for them. But they got a deal because the manufacturer had them there, and they sold them at a discounted price. And you could pay cash instead of them have to wait for the funding out of the construction loan or the renovation loan. So that is a big reason. The other one we kind of talked about is to pay to have money for the nest egg. You know, in this time, I'm getting more and more of that where people want to have that cash. They want to have some available cash in case, you know, things don't go as well as we hope, and they don't get back to work as soon as they wanted, or if they're at work but they're just worried. They're wanting to get that nest egg, and that can make a lot of sense. It's another reason we can do it. And so again, it works the same as anything else. You just end up with a check, and it's yours to use as you please. And the fourth area I put, and I know there's more cash outs, but another area I put is to pay for college, and paying for college can be a big thing. And then you have to look at, I had one call me the other day, and they were looking at that. They happen to not owe anything on their house. And so what I recommended is doing a home equity line of credit, because when you're paying for college, it's not all at once, it's over time. And a home equity line of credit can actually work very well in that scenario. So there are, you know, again, we want to look at it and make the right suggestions based on what it is you need to accomplish. And so those are the refinances, good reasons to refinance. Another thing I wanted to talk about today, and I think I'm just getting a ton of questions on it, so I thought it's something we should really discuss, and it's home values. I'm having people who are really worried that the value of the homes are going to be dropping because they remember what it was like during the last home crisis and the last recession, and homes fell. And the key here is this is a completely different reason for a recession. We've shut down our country, and when you shut down the country, that is different than the homes being overbought. In fact, we're anything but overbought in the housing market. We're short on inventory. There's more buyers than there are homes for sale. Back in 2008, there were more homes for sale than there were buyers. And today we have more buyers than there are sellers. We have extremely good rates, and we have a pent-up demand that was built over the last few years. So there is a tremendous amount of people wanting to get into the housing. And even with the shutdown and everything else, there's still a tremendous amount of activity out there. And so it is a great time it is a time where home values that we're seeing them on appraisals, we're seeing them on purchases, the home values are staying. Now, that doesn't mean that every home's going to appraise for what somebody purchases it for, or it doesn't mean that it's going to appraise for what you think that your home is valued at or hope that it's valued at. It just means that what we're seeing is the homes are not depreciating. In fact, back in 2008 on the appraisals, they would put it was a declining market. They are not putting that on appraisals right now. And that's what created a lot of the problems back in 2008 is the declining market. So you'd go, you'd buy a house, you'd spend $200,000, and then especially in places like California, things like that, those houses dropped to you know, 175 and you pay 200. I'll give you an example of that. I have a customer who they're in Florida, and they bought a house back then, and they paid like $380,000 for it as a condo. And we just had it appraised, and this is after like 10 years. We just had it appraised, and it appraised for like 245. So it dropped in value. Now, it's not in our market. This is in Florida, but it dropped in value, and it dropped significantly. And then it actually, they told me it had dropped to 175, and now it's coming up. So those things, that was what happened back then. Those values of those properties, you know, dropped. And that is what created a lot of the problems. It created a lot of the problems in the equity in the market for having mortgages, and having the equity and the lenders having the equity to do their mortgages. So you have to understand that it's not the same time, and it's actually the value of homes we're seeing, as I said, is staying up there. It's staying very good. It's been great, and we don't see it as a huge issue. In fact, we don't see it as an issue at all. The basics, again, the numbers I've seen, we're still seeing appreciation in Indiana at the 4% range on homes. Now, not every home appreciates at 4%, and not every area appreciates at 4%. Some appreciate higher, some appreciate lower. But in all, we're seeing good appreciation or fair appreciation. We're not anywhere near in the situation that we were in 2008. So hopefully that helps you understand that that's what's going on, and that matters both for purchase and refinance. And so we want to make sure that you know the market's good, and the values of homes are holding there and actually increasing. So it's a very good time to purchase or refinance. And truthfully, I just wouldn't worry about it. Now, if you overestimate the value of your house, then you might be disappointed. But I've had some people do that and still been happy because the house came in higher than they thought. So, like I said, values are great. The only way we'll actually know the value, though, is to have an appraisal. So we'd need to move forward. So go on my website to hardworkingmortgageguide.com and click the contact me information, and then put in your information there, what your question is, and I'll get back with you so we can answer any question or help you in any way that we can. I truly appreciate you joining me today, and have a great weekend.